Well, good evening. I bring you greetings in the Lord's name from Northern Ireland. I trust you're all well. I want to thank your pastor for the invitation, Pastor Paul, for the invitation to share a word of testimony with you tonight. And it's obviously in a recorded format. We trust that the Lord will bless you even through it as you listen to these few words that we have to say. I'm going to read from Psalm 71, just five verses from Psalm 71. The Word of God says in verse 1, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust, let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me, and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth." Amen. And we'll finish there at verse 5. And we know God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts this evening. Just to introduce myself, my name is David Anderson. I am the pastor of Bally Baptist Church in Ballymena in Northern Ireland. And as I say, I've been asked by your pastor, my good friend Paul, to bring a word of testimony to you. We've read these verses in Psalm 71, and in the verses that we've just read, verse 5 has particular meaning to me. In fact, I would say it's a verse that I believe sums up my testimony. In verse 5 of Psalm 71, the Word of God says, "Thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth." I wasn't privileged to be brought up in a Christian home. And I would say to any young people who are listening today to this recording that if you have Christian parents, don't underestimate the blessing that that is. Don't underestimate what a privilege that is. I wasn't born into a home where God was honoured. I wasn't brought along to church from a baby. In fact, at the time that I was born, neither of my parents were Christians and really didn't have any interest in the things of God. But whenever I was about 5 years old, a lady who worked with my mum, who was a Christian, she began to bring me along to Sunday school and to children's meetings in the church that she attended in Dungannon Free Presbyterian Church. And that was where I first heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. After being there for a couple of years, I was around 7 years of age and I began to become under conviction of sin and conviction regarding my need of a saviour. I realised, and I know it was the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, I realised that even at a young age I was a sinner. I might not have done terrible things, the things that people would call sin, but I was still a sinner because the Bible tells us that we're all born as sinners. And the Bible tells us that our sin separates us from God. And from an early age, we do demonstrate our sinful natures. I knew clearly that I was a sinner. I knew that I was selfish. I knew that I was disobedient. I knew that I had told lies. I knew that I had stolen things. And I knew all of those things were wrong. So it came to the 23rd of September, 1980. And now we're going back quite a period of time. They're over 40 years. And I was at a children's meeting in the church. I can't tell you what the Bible story was about that night. What I can tell you is that the Holy Spirit was working in my heart. And I can tell you that at the end of that children's meeting, I asked one of the leaders, one of the children's workers, if I could speak to someone about getting saved. And that night I sat with one of the children's workers in that church, and he very clearly and very faithfully pointed me to the Lord Jesus Christ. He showed me from the Word of God that my sin was something that would separate me from God for all of eternity. He told me and showed me from the Word of God that God had made a way of escape, and it was a way of salvation through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He told me that Jesus had already paid the price to deal with my sin on the cross of Calvary, that Jesus had been crucified. The Bible tells us that he was crucified, that he paid the price as the just one. He was the just for the unjust. His blood had been shed as a sacrifice for sinners, and the Lord Jesus Christ had risen from the dead to show the victory over death. And I was told that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And very simply, that night at the age of 7, I trusted in Christ as my Saviour. I asked the Lord to forgive me for my sin. I asked the Lord to cleanse me from it. And I simply believe that the Lord Jesus Christ had taken my place. And I put my trust in him to save me. And of course, it's great to be able to say to you today that he did, that he saved me. And the wonderful thing about the gospel is that he can save you too. Maybe you're listening to me just now and you're not saved. Maybe you're only listening because someone asked you to listen. Maybe you're only listening because your family brought you along to listen. Well, I want to tell you that if you're searching for something, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. In Romans chapter 10, verse 13, the Bible tells us, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I can testify to that. I can assure you tonight, I cried out at the age of 7 and God saved me. And he can save you too. Now, just a few months after that, my mum got saved, and that truly was a blessing and an answer to prayer. But sadly, the situation in the home wasn't a very good one. And just about a year after I got saved, towards the end of 1981, my parents' marriage broke up. My dad was, and still is to this day, an alcoholic. And this impacted family life in so many different ways. And it impacted life in such a way it came to a point where the marriage fell apart. For a few months, my mum and myself and my younger brother, we moved to different places. First of all, we lived with an aunt of mine for a couple of months. And then we moved in with my grandparents for about 6 months. And then eventually my mum got a home or a house in Newton Ards. Now, Newton Ards and Dungannon, where I were brought up, are about 50 miles apart. It doesn't seem like a big distance now, but when you're 8 years old, it seemed like the other side of the world from what I knew as home. It took a long time, as far as I was concerned, to get from Dungannon to Newton Ards. Life changed very suddenly and very dramatically. Life changed for us. In the year from the marriage breakup, I attended 3 different primary schools. It brought a new home, a new school, it brought new friends, it brought a new church, and it was a new setting to everything in life. It was very difficult at times, and there wasn't much money in the home, but what I would say is that my mum was a hard worker, and we never wanted for the basics of life. Do you know, whenever you're young, and you're too young to understand the sacrifices that were made, and I probably didn't appreciate it then. I didn't appreciate everything that my mum had to do in order perhaps even to put food on the table. But I do appreciate those things now. I would love to be able to tell you this evening that I have been a perfect example of what a Christian should be. I'd love to be able to say to you that I had never failed the Lord who loves me. And he loves me more than tongue can tell, the hymn writer says. I'd love to be able to tell you I'd never failed, but I can't. None of us could say that. There's not one of us is perfect. I didn't live as I ought to have done as I was growing up, particularly during my teenage years. I didn't get involved in lots of terrible things, but I had a facade. And I thought I was fooling everybody around me. I went to all the meetings in church. I was active in the youth fellowship. I learned catechisms. I talked a good talk. I answered questions and quizzes and all the rest of it. But behind that front, it was only just a front. I wasn't reading my Bible, I wasn't praying, and I certainly wasn't witnessing or living for the Lord publicly whenever I was out of the church and home environment. But the Lord did preserve me from getting involved in deep sins, and I want to thank him for that. And while the Lord preserved me from those things, I still was so unfaithful to him many times. I was disobedient to him often, and I missed so many opportunities to speak to others about God's amazing love and God's wonderful salvation. And I have to say that I let him down so much. And that's a regret that I have. But I can also say with total certainty that the Lord never, ever let me down. Not once has he ever let me down. There might be times in life when we ask questions about why things happen and we wonder why. But the Bible tells us that all things work together for good. The Lord is always working for the good of his people. He cares for us. He meets our needs. And the Lord has blessed me in my life with so much goodness and grace. The hymn writer put it like this. He said, "For all the Lord has done for me, I never will cease to praise him." I just want to praise the Lord with my life. The Lord gives peace. I often think about the lack of peace in our world today. As I'm sitting recording this today, of course, if we were to turn on the television and listen to the news, there's a war going on in Ukraine, and there's uncertainty in economies and world economies, and prices are rising, and there's so many things where there appears to be no peace. There's very often only strife. And of course, we can see these things happening, and we can see that the Lord is working out his purposes and his plan. I'm struck by the fact that there's so little peace. I'm struck by the fact that people take their own lives, and very often young people do that because they've come to the conclusion that there's nothing in life that will bring them peace or will bring them satisfaction. Now, I don't know the statistics for Singapore, but I can tell you that in Northern Ireland, there is an average suicide rate over the past number of years where it's almost one person per day. It's around six per week. People taking their own lives because they feel that they have no hope. And yet we have the hope of the gospel. There is hope to be found in Jesus Christ. I can talk to you today about a parent who has spent well over 50 years looking for satisfaction and looking for peace in the bottom of a bottle with an addiction to alcohol. And I can say to you, there's no peace to be found in that place. And this is the truth. And I want to share this with you. I firmly believe this. If God hadn't saved me at the age of seven, that could well have been me. I thought there was nobody like my dad. As a young child who knew no different, I thought he could do no wrong. I thought that everything that he did was just wonderful. And I well remember this at the age of 5 or 6 years old, sitting in the clubhouse in the local football club, Dungannon Swifts Football Club. And I remember sitting playing at a gaming machine, playing Space Invaders. If you remember Space Invaders, my dad was sat at the bar and he couldn't stay in the house for a night and look after me. He had to go to the bar and bring me with him. And he was supposed to be looking after me while my mum was out. And I remember on one occasion being there in that football club, being in the local bar, and not being able to find my dad. And going to the barman. Now, think about this. As a 5 or 6 year old boy, going to the barman and asking him, did he know where my daddy was? And he told me that my daddy would be back in a minute. And what I didn't know was that my dad had left me sitting in the bar and had gone home to find more money in order to buy more alcohol. I look back and I think that could so easily have been me if not for the grace of God. My dad's still not saved, and he needs saved. Please pray for him. Now, when I was about 16 years of age, the Lord began to convict me about my walk and how I wasn't living for him as I ought to. And it all came to a head one day whenever I was at college. I had left school and I was at college and we had a free afternoon. And the rest of the people that I hung about with in my college class, they all decided to head down into the middle of Bangor, which was the place where I studied. And when we got down into the middle of the town, they all started to head into this bar, this public house. And I was with them and I was too embarrassed to say no, and I tagged along. And by that stage, I hadn't been in a bar for a long time. And I was never so uncomfortable in my life up to that point, because I knew I shouldn't be there, but I was like a fish out of water. And then to top it all off, as I was sitting there at the bar with my friends, drinking a glass of Coca-Cola, a young fella came in who I knew from church, and he had no testimony. He wasn't saved, and he came into the bar as well. Now, I don't know if he saw me that day. If he did, he never said anything. But it was the last time I was ever there. The Lord really began to work in my heart, and he took a dealing with me at that time. And I know that I came back to him then. And I can tell you that it was then that the Lord began to convict me. I started to attend the prayer meeting in the church. I started to get more involved in the work of the church. And I became more involved in the youth and the children's work. And that continued then for a few years, up until 1995. And in 1985, life changed for me. In December 1995, I got married. And I was really very young when I got married. But it will be our 27th wedding anniversary later this year. Now, my wife's called Jeanette. We lived in a little place called Port Lanoan for about 5 years. Her daddy was a minister in the Free Presbyterian Church there. And then after we lived in Port Lanoan for about 5 years, we moved to Belfast for 3 years. And when we were in Port Lanoan, we were active in the church there. And when we moved to Belfast, we were active in our local church and teaching Sunday school and working in the children's meeting and doing a little bit of preaching, but not a whole lot, just a little bit. And most of my preaching opportunities came along. I have a good friend, Morris Warburton, has been a good friend for a long time. And we would take in a little mission hall off the Shankill Road in Belfast, a little mission hall called the Old Forge Mission Hall. No longer open. It's not, the hall is no longer having meetings. But they would ask us to come along and take a month of Saturday night meetings. And we would go along, Morris and I, and we would share those meetings. 1 week he would preach, and I would lead the meeting, and the next week I would preach and he would lead the meeting. And those are very important years. I value those years because they were years when I learned how to study the word in order to share it with other people. But then after that, as life began to change and children came along, I have two boys. They're almost adult. Well, one of them is an adult now. One of them's 18. The other one is 16. But whenever children come along, anyone who has children, you know how it changes your life. And one thing that came shortly after the boys were born was a change of church in early 2007 when we started to attend the Iron Hall Assembly in Belfast. And again, those were years for me of refining and shaping. During those years, the Lord began to open up more and more opportunities for me to serve him and to preach the word in various different churches. And then in 2011, we moved to Saintfield Baptist Church. And Saintfield Baptist Church was the nearest Baptist church which represented our convictions. I am convicted of Baptist church government, but it represented our convictions on the Word of God, on the message of the gospel, and on other important matters. And it was really while I was attending Saintfield Baptist that the Lord began to work in leading me to full-time ministry. Doors continued to open up for me to preach his word more and more. And it got to the point where I was probably away 3 Sundays out of 4 preaching in other churches, as well as doing midweek meetings fairly regularly, midweek Bible studies. And the Lord began to prepare me for service. But I would be honest and I would say that I was content doing what I was doing. I felt like I was doing plenty. My wife would say that she felt I had an important ministry as a lay preacher because there's always a need for that whenever a pastor moves on or a pastor retires. And I was going from place to place. And as I was doing that, as I was traveling from place to place, some people, as they do, they're very kind in their words. And when they're going out past you, sometimes they'll say, maybe sometime you'll get a call and you'll come or you'll be a pastor. And I sort of just brushed it off because I was happy. I was enjoying the job that I was doing. I was happy in my home and happy in my local church. And just the opportunities to preach were good. A couple of different churches approached me at times, but the Lord always closed the door. And as this was all going on in my personal life and my work life, opportunities were coming. The doors were opening in employment. I just started a new job then in March 2016. It was quite a big step up for me. And originally I hadn't applied for the job. And the reason I hadn't applied is because a church had approached me and asked me to consider becoming their pastor. Or they wanted to talk to me about that. And I was in discussions with them. I felt it would be wrong to be in those discussions, but also be applying for a job in secular employment at the same time. So the discussions with the church concluded, the Lord closed the door, and the job that I would have been interested in but hadn't applied for, no one was recruited, no one was successful in getting the job. So the job was re-advertised. And by this stage now, I wasn't having discussions with the church, so I applied for the job. And when I applied for the job, I was the only person shortlisted for assessment and interview, and I was offered the job. And I sort of then felt that that says that maybe that was the Lord saying, look, no to full-time service. And if I'm honest, I was relatively content with that. So then I continued to be preaching in different places. And just over a year after all of this happened, I got a phone call out of the blue from an elder in a church, a Baptist church in Points Pass, which is quite a bit down near the border between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland. And as I got that phone call, I was caught completely off guard. I didn't see it coming at all. I'd preached in the church for two consecutive Sundays, and then I was doing a month of midweek meetings. And it was on the third week of that month that I got the phone call. Maybe I was a bit naive, and I didn't see it coming. But anyway, they asked to meet with me, and then the elders asked if I would allow my name to go forward to the members, for the members to call me to pastor the work. And I believed that the Lord wanted me to let that happen. I said I would let the name go forward, and in the meantime, I would pray that the Lord's will would be done. And there were a lot of things that happened after the call came that confirmed to me, but confirmed to us as a family, that the Lord was leading us to Points Pass. And we had no doubt it was His will that we go. You know, I have equally no doubt that the Lord brought me to Points Pass. And after 3 years, the Lord then led me to another church, because I'm now the pastor of Bally Baptist Church. I've been here about 18 months. Points Pass was a time when the Lord was gracious to us. The Lord blessed us. We learned many things, and the Lord knows all about us. We know that we're imperfect people. We know that we're trying to serve our Savior and our Master as best as we can. And we learn all of these things as we go on. But to come to where I am now, where I've been in the past 18 months, the elders in Bally Baptist Church approached me and asked me if I would speak to them. And again, I was caught unawares. I had preached for them on a Sunday. And I'll be honest, there was maybe a little bit of me that thought that they'd got me mixed up with someone else. But anyway, they asked to meet with me. And between the phone call and meeting with them, we began to pray and ask the Lord for His leading. And the Lord made it very clear, very quickly, that this was something that was His will. There were particular verses of scripture in Isaiah 42 and 43 on the day before I met with the elders in Bally Baptist. And then on the day of the meeting, the Lord encouraged me. He said that, behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. And then on the day that I was to meet with the elders, it said that the Lord said to me through Isaiah 43, verse 19, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Now, or shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And so the Lord was starting to work in my heart. And a week later, in my own personal devotions, and at this stage, I was struggling with the possibility that we were all going to have to move again in a short space of time. All of the family practicalities began to come to the forefront. We had moved house twice during our time from moving from Newton Arch to Points Pass. And then we were going to have to uproot. We were going to have to move the boys from schools to different schools again. And in the personal devotions, as I was starting to worry about these things, this is what I read in Isaiah 48 and 5. The Lord says, I have even from the beginning declared it to thee. Before it came to pass, I showed it thee. You see, the Lord was working. The Lord was in control of all of this, and the Lord was working in my heart. And I think now, with an element of hindsight, that I knew then that this was going to happen. Because if the Lord's in it, then the Lord will make it happen. If the Lord's in it, then I have to be submitted to His will and His leading. There's many scriptures I could share with you about how the Lord called us and how the Lord brought us into His service. But what happened after the first meeting was that COVID struck, and we're all still dealing with the repercussions of COVID, and that changed all the circumstances. The normal process would have been that there would have been a church meeting, but there couldn't be an in-person meeting anymore. So it became a very unusual situation, a very unusual circumstances. And in the end, it was a different process that was used in order to seek the will of the members in the church. But it was a matter for prayer consistently for me. And it went from the middle of February, or the end of January, actually, 2020, until the end of May. On the 22nd of May, 2020, in my personal Bible reading, I read these words in Ezekiel chapter 12 and verse 3. The Lord said, prepare thee stuff for removing. Now, this was before the call came. And this was before there had been a call, but the Lord said, prepare thee stuff for removing. And what intrigued me about that, what struck me, was that God had used that very same verse whenever he called me to Points Pass. And now, just as the call was about to come to Bali in God's sovereign will and purpose, he brought us right back to the very same place again. He said, prepare these stuff for removing. And we were to be ready to go. And we are to be a people who are submitted to the Lord. And I believe that where we are now is where the Lord has brought us in his will. It's a different place, but it has the same responsibility. The responsibilities are the same in the pastorate. People are different, circumstances are different, but the goal and the objective is the same. We're here to serve the Lord. We're here to preach the gospel. We're here to seek to glorify the name of the Savior. That's my purpose. That's my responsibility. Do you know, you've heard my testimony tonight. You've heard how the Lord saved me. You've heard how the Lord has worked in my life, and even how the Lord has called me into full-time service and has led me through that. But maybe you're listening tonight and this is all very strange to you. And it will be strange if you're not a Christian. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's all going to be strange. Life has been very strange in these past couple of years, with everything that has happened with COVID-19 and with the restrictions that they have, that has brought from country to country. It all changes just here in Northern Ireland and in the United Kingdom. Actually, the restrictions have very much relaxed over these past couple of months. And I don't know the circumstances that they are in Singapore with regards to restrictions. But what I will say is this: life has changed, and there's been so much uncertainty for these past couple of years. And it's been a big problem. It's been a fearful thing for many people over these past couple of years with COVID. People have been afraid of what it might bring. People have been afraid of death, have been afraid of contracting COVID-19 in case they might die. Can I tell you something this evening? There's a bigger problem than COVID, and it's sin. And we're all born as sinners. And there's a 100% infection rate. We're all born as sinners. People have been looking for the vaccine, and the vaccines have come, and yet COVID is still there to some extent or another. Well, let me tell you something. Do you see your sin problem? There's a cure for your sin problem. There's a 100% infection rate. But I'll tell you now that the cure for your sin problem is 100% effective, because it's the blood of Jesus Christ. The cure for sin is the work of Christ. The one who went to the cross and who shed his blood, who died for guilty sinners, the one who paid the price so that they would go free. You heard me speak in my testimony about how I realized my need of a Savior. And yet we're all born with that same problem. We're all born with the need of a Savior. But the Bible tells us how we are to find hope. The Bible tells us how we are to find salvation. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, we read that Jesus said this. He says that he was come that they might have life. He's come to give us life. It's eternal life he offers. It's an eternal salvation he offers, not a temporary solution. I mean, people talk about the vaccine, and then they talk about the power of the vaccine waning and whatever. And people are searching for satisfaction in life in many different places. But there's only one true satisfaction. There's only one real hope. It's found in a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. He is the Savior of sinners. He is the one who died for you. Maybe you're listening to me today and you don't know him as your Savior. Can I urge you? Can I implore you? Can I plead with you? Will you come and put your trust in him today? Will you be done with your sin? Will you be done with your searching for peace and for hope and for satisfaction? Because if you come to Jesus Christ, you'll find all of those things, and you'll find that you have eternal hope and eternal life. Your sin will be dealt with. You'll be ready for heaven, and Christ will be your Savior, and the Lord will lead you, and the Lord will guide you in all things. Thank you for listening to me as I share my testimony. I trust that more important than listening to my testimony, you'll take on board the things that we have said about the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the only Savior of sinners. God bless you all. Good night.